Welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I'm not even going to discuss Pixar Fest or my trip to Disneyland recently, my two trips, or all of the Universal Orlando news that's coming, because this episode has spiraled out of control. We gotta recap the trip. I'm scared to know how long this episode is. It's definitely over an hour, but we're just going to get into it. There's going to be no churros call. We're going to do a quick intro, quick outro. We're just going to focus on the bulk of the trip recap because, again, I packed so much life into this trip. It's like I was out of town for a month. So we only covered about one day in part one. We're covering the rest of it here. Disney World, Universal, different hotels, a random hotel that I stayed at that I actually really liked, another random hotel that I liked. So much to talk about. I'm just going to stop talking. Enjoy the episode. Talk to you soon. I love you much. Okay, bye. And welcome back to my trip recap part two. Part two, for the love of all things holy, it's going to be part two because I went too hard on the first one and I have so much to share with you about this trip. Because this trip really made me rethink how I visit a theme park. More on that soon, but regardless, there's so much to get into. So let's discuss. Now, on day two of our trip, I woke up and decided to take our time getting to Epcot, which was basically a conscious decision of me leaning in, steering into the skid, you might say, because there is just no way to get out of a hotel room quickly with a toddler. I underestimated how quickly we get out of the house in the morning when we are home. We go on a walk for coffee every day. It's like pretty easy to get out of the house. I mean, it's not easy, but it's not as hard as going to a theme park all day. I got there and was like, I have to do so many things. I steamed broccoli. I boiled eggs. I prepared all of it for Pearl in this little snack tray. Again, it takes hours to like get all your baby stuff and your baby and get out the door. It is very intense. And I'm not someone who gets ready quickly in the first place. So it took us 3 hours. Or no, 2.5. I think this was faster than Magic Kingdom. It took us about 2.5 hours to get out of the house. But we left around 11. We took the bus to Epcot, and after a few failed nap attempts, we went on Spaceship Earth. And I don't know if you experience Spaceship Earth like I do, but I can never nail the photo lately. I don't know what it is, but for some reason, like, my photo just looked like a big eye. It looked like it was one eyeball. So at the end, I obviously went on with my mom. At the end, it was like, my mom and I are little heads dancing around. We love it. We always think it's fun. Like, we love going on Spaceship Earth together. We love the little journey they create for you. And the little head was just like an eyeball. It was terrifying. It was like, oh, the eyeball's going skiing. Oh, the eyeball's going to get her leg fixed by a robot on the mountain and back to skiing. Like, it was very, very freaky. I don't know why. I mean, it's not the best tech in the world that they use on that attraction, but still, it was not great. It was not great, but we had a wonderful time on the ride. Pearl's first Spaceship Earth, she slept during it, but that's what that attraction is for if you're a baby. It's dark, it's quiet, it's the ideal nap zone. Afterwards, I personally needed to wake up, so we went to Starbucks and I got what is currently my favorite drink at Starbucks. I won't get too into it. This is what the foamily is for, but lately I get, oh God, I always panic when I say it out loud because I like ordering it on the app because it's too many words to retain in my brain. I like getting a grande in a venti iced blonde non-fat latte with lavender cold foam. I love the lavender cold foam. I love it. I love it so much. It is so delicious and it's so potent in like wonderful lavender floral notes that even when it melts quickly, if you only get a little, the whole point of doing a grande in a venti, not to like fully bring you back to 2020 when this is all we talked about, but the whole point of getting a grande in a venti is that you get extra cold foam. It's like, oh, I want a grande size drink, but then the space between grande and venti, load her up with cold foam. And sometimes you don't get a lot, you only get a little, and it's still great. It's still fantastic. And it was heaven. I got it. And then I accomplished something that has been on my bringing a child to Disney World first time bucket list, which was having Pearl play on the Epcot playground. For my entire life, my career, that little area, the little Epcot playground is, let me see if there's an official name, Epcot Playground. No, it doesn't have like a silly name. It's just called Epcot Playground. I'd never been in there and I was like, oh, I have a reason to explore a new space. Exploring a new space in a place I've been 2 billion times is so much fun. So I brought Pearl to this playground and quickly I realized why people aren't raving about this place all the time. Because, I don't know, it's Florida. It's boiling hot outside. I think that day was 92 or 93 degrees. So hot outside and there's just no shade. And everything's made of metal. Like, I don't know what masochist built this playground, but it was impossible to enjoy with her. There were only certain shaded areas, and there's an area of the playground that's for little older kids, an area that's for the younger kids. The younger kids' area had literally no shade. So she would have like burned her tiny hands on these boiling hot metal interactive exhibits. It was such a bummer. I'd been looking forward to, like, you know, experiencing this playground, having her get her sillies out, which is a big deal at this age. Otherwise, it, like, kind of ruins your day and they're upset and you don't want them to be upset. You want them to get their sillies out and run around and have a fun time for her crawl around. But I could only have her do a few things, and all of them were quite warm. There was barely any shade. It was just stressful. And I'm just so disappointed because this happens time and time again. And I know the playground's not new, but so often, so many things in these theme parks are designed without shade in mind. I don't know why. The easiest explanation is just the people designing it don't spend as much time in the theme parks as the rest of us do. But, like, look at Toy Story Land. Like, look at anything. Avengers Campus. Like, all these things that keep coming out, they debut the land, it's boiling hot out, and then they introduce a bunch of random umbrellas that were never part of the design of the land. These lands need shade. These lands need shade so desperately. And I was really kind of sad to learn that the playground isn't really a viable option for us, especially like at this age when if I say something like, don't touch, too hot, it doesn't process for her. So playground was a bit of a bummer, not gonna lie. Have I tried the other? There's a few other playgrounds. Well, we haven't done the water slides. I guess we've maybe done them all. I think we've done them all, but this is upsetting to me. So if you have a child and you're going to do it, let me know. Let me know if you've also felt the same way, because I couldn't believe how hot it was. After we left the playground, we were like, oh, we got to get some food. It is hot. We are tired. We need to eat. And I had canceled a reservation at Shikisai Izakaya and Sushi. I went here on my last trip in December. I thought it was absolutely excellent. It's in the Japan Pavilion at Epcot. And I really wanted to go back. So I made this reservation. And then I was like, you know what? Too many things scheduled. I'm too stressed out. It's too much. We have a baby. Like, it's hot out. I don't want to really be bookended by things to do. And then I wound up walking past at the exact time our reservation used to be. And I was like, oh no, I really want to eat here. So I went upstairs. I took the elevator up with Pearl, my mom. And I talked to the people at the front and I was like, listen, I made a reservation. We have a baby. We canceled. Is there any chance you would honor our original reservation time? I know I canceled a few hours ago. Is there any possibility we can still dine here? And they made it happen. It was a true magic moment. And I'm so glad we got to eat there because it's just as good as I remembered. I'm sorry. Their sushi is excellent. The shirashi, which is a bowl of rice with a bunch of sushi on top, I think is my go-to thing here. I got something else that my friend Shay recommended, which was like a hot stone rice bowl with meat. I didn't love it. I didn't love it. I mean, it was good, but I don't know. I wasn't feeling it as much as the shirashi. I will be coming back here for sushi every trip because it's that excellent. It's excellent. I basically, like, I don't know. I feel sated. Is that the word? I feel like fully, my sushi cup is filled up. I enjoyed it. I haven't gotten sushi in LA pretty much since that December trip because I just get it here because it's so good. Highly recommend. The view is wonderful. It's just a really, really lovely experience. So while I was at lunch, I got a text from my friend Craig, who works at the Diz, if you are familiar. And Craig had bumped into, I believe, if you are listening, we met at the store in Epcot. I believe your name was Melissa, and I'm not 100% sure. We took a photo together, and I'm just realizing I never posted it. It was lovely to meet you. But this person also bumped into Craig and said they bumped into me. And Craig texted me like, hey, I'm in Epcot. I didn't know you were here. So after I had lunch, I ended up walking over to the Mexico Pavilion and joining Craig and Rhino of the Diz for their final wrap up of the meal, which was really nice, especially because it was air conditioned. I got to see them, which was wonderful. But it was so hot this day, like relentlessly hot. And I know I usually avoid the parks in the summer. That's why I went on this trip. I was like, oh, it'll be right before the heat wave. Like, I think I'll be good. If I just go in April, I like go really quick, do like a quick little trip before it's pure summer. No, I was a fool. I have Florida won. Florida won this one. And it was so hot. So much so that I was like, we gotta go to Journey of Water inspired by Moana. I had not yet been somehow had not yet been. And I was just like, we need to be near mist. We need to be near water, near anything to cool us off. We walked through, and again, I don't know why it took me so long to get here, but I can't believe how beautiful it was. And I'm sure I've talked about this on the podcast before. I know I've talked about it in my personal life. I was not really for this project. I thought it was a little strange. I thought placing it here was odd. And I didn't really see how it fit within Epcot. And now that I have been there, I completely take back all of it. This walkthrough water exhibit is interactive. It has that kind of like science edutainment element that new Epcot doesn't always have. Like, it really harkens back to the pure early days of Epcot while also bringing in a film that is more modern. Like, I think this is the perfect way to blend intellectual property and the theme parks and their history and how we use these spaces functionally while in the parks. It's fantastic. And on top of that, Tafiti, that I guess you'd call it a statue. They have a full-blown Tafiti. The view of Tafiti in front of Spaceship Earth, like, it is one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. I'd seen a bunch of photos of it and was like, wow, that's cool. I didn't know it looked that good in real life. It looks that good in real life. I can't recommend it enough. Both if you are an adult who wants to go through or you're going through with a child who needs to like run through a sprinkler. It was really fun to do the interactive exhibits. It was very charming and very magical. And I quite liked it. I got to eat my words on this because I really was not for this. And I just thought it was excellent. We ended up doing it twice. I really liked it. It's just a really nice, it kind of like breaks up Epcot in a really interesting way. And I love what they've done here. So if you've kind of skipped over it, like I had, no offense, definitely do it. I'd also skipped over it because I hadn't been going to the parks regularly because the whole baby thing, but that's a different story. After that, we went on the Seas with Nemo and Friends, aka a ride you greatly appreciate if you have a small child because it's so easy to get on and it's dark and it's relaxing for them. And then we moseyed out and headed back to the hotel. Now, originally, the schedule I had for my second day in the parks was very different. I was going to Epcot with my mom and Pearl, but then that night, we were planning on leaving Pearl, just giving Pearl a casual night with our nanny, Pearl would go to bed early, and my mom and I were going to go and, like, maybe, I don't know, get a bite at Grand Floridian, maybe go to the Contemporary, and then watch fireworks at Magic Kingdom. And when the time came, I realized, first of all, there's simply no way this woman is going to leave Pearl behind on her final night in Florida because my mom was leaving the next morning. I was out of my mind to think that my mom was going to be like, bye-bye, Pearl, and then like go enjoy fireworks. But also, I really wanted to see the fireworks, but I wanted to spend time together with everyone. So we ended up not doing fireworks, which means that I can't even believe I'm doing this on air because it hurts me and it's unfathomable. But I still have not seen Happily Ever After. Since it came back, I know, I don't know what's happening. Like, the stars have not aligned. Going on a trip with a baby makes it really hard to see that show in particular because getting out of Magic Kingdom takes some time and bedtimes and yada, yada, yada. But I'm going back in June. This will be a top priority. I absolutely must see it because I'm going to go back without Pearl. But I haven't done it yet. And I didn't do it on this trip because I chose to spend the night at Old Key West instead. We played at the Old Key West main pool. I went down that fabulous water slide. And while I'd walked the property at Old Key West before, I didn't realize like this central pool, tennis court, playground, sand play area was really, really nice. Again, such a wonderful vacation vibe. Right down to the gift shop. The gift shop itself does something that many Disney resorts don't do anymore, which is that they have so much hotel-specific merch. So much. I think they have lounge flies. I remember kind of seeing ears, like so much Disney's Old Key West merch, which is because this is like a historical Disney Vacation Club hotel. But it was just so, felt so nice. It felt really old school Disney in a way that, again, I was not prepared for. Which goes right into my next point, which is that we had dinner at Olivia's, which is the restaurant at Old Key West. Again, I did not realize what I had been missing. Because the walls of this restaurant are covered in photographs from original Disney Vacation Club members, which really adds this very special personalized element. The only way I can describe it is that these walls and walls of framed photographs really make this place feel like a Bubba Gump, but the lore, the story behind the restaurant are just our peers. It might even be some of you listening. Like, the people who made this resort what it is lined the walls of the restaurant, and it really feels like this homey vacation place. Now, they call Olivia's a hidden gem on the Disney website, on their own website, on the own page for the restaurant. They call it a hidden gem, and they are absolutely right. It's really It's not the type of place that you would trek to if you're only in Disney World for 3 or 4 nights. But if you're there on vacation for a while or come often, that is the vibe of this place. And it is worth seeking out. I am embarrassed it took me so long to dine here because people had said it was great. And I just never went out of the way to dine there. And it was so wonderful. They also have a brunch I haven't gone to, which now I have to. But the food was excellent. You start with this pineapple coconut bread, which was delicious. Even Pearl ate a bunch of it. It was so good. And then they have conch fritters. The conch fritters were maybe the single best thing I ate my entire trip. They were delicious. I will be going back for these and these alone, if not for a full meal. And then I was looking at the kids' menu and I noticed that they had these buttermilk fried chicken strips. No, not like regular Disney chicken nuggets, not like a fried chicken tender they heat up. They make them here. They make these buttermilk fried chicken tenders. And I got an order of them and they were delicious. Like the food here, the quality of food here is so good. I cannot rave about it enough. We had an incredible waiter. It was so nice to kind of be surrounded by this community on the walls. We sat at an outdoor table. Like it just, this place has a vibe. It has a vibe and I loved it. Now the next morning, day 3, we had a big morning ahead of us because my mom was heading out that day. She was heading back home. We only had the morning together and I, with a lot of legwork and a lot of planning, was able to snag a Topolino's Terrace reservation. Now, if you were not familiar, this is the much discussed character dining opportunity. I don't know why I said opportunity. It is a character dining meal. I guess it's an opportunity because it's really hard to book. It's probably the most popular character dine at Walt Disney World. And it's at the top of Riviera Resort, which is a newer Disney Vacation Club hotel at Walt Disney World. It's off the Skyliner, which means that you can easily go to Epcot and Disney's Hollywood Studios. It's a really nice hotel. And while I haven't stayed here, I only toured it before it was officially open. I will say that when we walked in the door, I noticed my traveling party was a little like, oh, wow. Like a little like, oh, we could have stayed here. And instead we stayed at Old Key West. It is definitely very different from Old Key West. And I do need to stay here because imagining like these type of furnishings, this type of elegance with a multi-bedroom room, with a kitchen like that, it would make for a really great trip. So next time I'm going to try to stay here again. It's hard to book. It's expensive and it's in demand because it's newer and it's nice. However, okay, let's get into it. So Riviera Resort, listen, I want to stay there and I will stay there and I think it's nice, but I think the lobby is strange. I think the lobby has a bad vibe and I know I'm saying vibe a lot, but it's the only way to describe it because it just feels a little too small. Like, you know, if you look, try on clothes and you're like, something isn't working and I don't know what, that is what I feel about this lobby because they have this amazing restaurant upstairs, which we'll talk about in a second. The rooms, I've toured them, lovely. The outside pool area with the dining, wonderful setup. They have this lawn that you can look down upon from the lobby. That's very nice. But the lobby itself, it's just not right because something about like, it's like all the action here on the Grand Floridian feels like all the action's in the lobby. Here at Riviera, all the action is in the elevator. You got to get like, you got to take the elevator down or take a staircase down to go out the back to get to the stuff. Like the lobby is just this little landing pad. And it doesn't jive with the rest of the feel of the hotel. They have a lovely little coffee shop with a little sitting area, which is great. But I wish the lobby was maybe a little bigger because when you enter, they have these like waterfalls on the side. It's very beautiful. And then you get in this lobby and there's obviously it's a hotel lobby at a Disney park. Or at a Disney resort. There's a lot of people in the lobby. And if you've been to Riviera, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's just a little too cramped for me. So when I stay here and do a full review, we will talk about it more. But I'm curious if anyone else thinks about this because the lobby is just, ha! And then the rest of the hotel, beautiful. But the lobby, ha! Anyway, we took the elevator up to Topolino's. This place is busy during breakfast. There was like a wall of strollers. Everyone was dying to get to their table. And we had a wonderful time. Now, my friend Craig, who I just mentioned, brought his son to meet Pearl before breakfast. It is very hard to coordinate toddler schedules, but we had a tiny little baby play date before we went up, which really set us up for success for the day. Because once we got to Topolino's and like, you know, like, oh, we like saw, we were. I was stressed about seeing Craig in time. We saw Craig and Kylie and the baby. The babies got to play. We got upstairs. We were on schedule. My mom had to leave in an hour. Like everything worked out. And then we walked into this space and it just felt like a breath of fresh air. Now, the character dine is only during breakfast time. They also have a dinner menu. It's a regular restaurant at nighttime. And that lends itself to this place being an ideal character meet for that exact reason, because it is a lovely restaurant. Everything is nice. I often say that Chef Mickey's is like a pediatrician's waiting room, because that's what it feels like. When you're there, it just feels like you're like I'm inside. And even though you're in that beautiful contemporary atrium, it doesn't feel like you're relaxed, calm. And this meal was, in fact, the opposite of my Crystal Palace breakfast that I went to in December with Pearl. So here's the deal. Buffets are great because you have tons of options, but the food is never excellent. It can be great, but it's never like the best thing you've ever had at Disney. And now that I go to Disney parks with a child, I'm now learning that, oh, a buffet is a literal nightmare if you have a small baby, because someone has to stay and watch them. Someone has to go get food. Someone has to, you know, like make sure the baby's eating, and then you have to eat, and then the characters are coming around, and it's chaos. It is chaos. And while there are other dining options for if you want to like sit and have characters come around, Topolino's, I now get why this is so in demand. Because first of all, you're in, like I said, in this elegant restaurant space that's more than just a character meal. The windows here let in so much light. You feel like you are really at a elegant meal. Like the light coming in, there is never this much natural light at a character meal. I mean, think about it. Cinderella's Royal Table, like there's windows, but there's not a lot of light. Akershus, you're not getting direct sunlight. No way, no how. Like all of these different meals, it's just not the same. And even my Four Seasons Resort Orlando character breakfast, which I love, is way more indoors than this. This felt airy and light and wonderful. And just being in that space was so nice. It was also a lot less stressful because there was not a buffet. And I never really thought about how, you know, somewhere like 1900 Park Fair, like getting up and getting your food is a very different setup than a waiter who brings your food. And when you have a baby, and on top of that, you're trying to make memories, you're trying to have these characters meet your child, like you want to meet the characters. There's so much going on that Topolino's really hit the mark on all fronts when it comes to character dining. To the point where like I am now anti-Crystal Palace in a deep, deep way. Do I love just like serving myself kids food? I do, but do you know what they did for me here? I wanted a little like a kid's meal of Mickey waffles because they looked really appealing. And I wanted like an entree. And I was like, you know what? Can I order an entree for myself and a kid's meal? And they were like, don't even worry about it. We'll just bring you a waffle on the side. And they did. So I didn't even need a buffet to live my food dreams. Topolino's Terrace forever. Truly. I'd never really prioritized this restaurant because I was like, yeah, the costumes are cool, but like, I don't need to schlep all the way here for a character meal. If I want to see characters, I'll see them in the parks. I'll go somewhere else. It's totally fine. The costumes are wonderful, by the way. Mickey's a painter. Minnie's like covered in newspaper clippings. I think she's supposed to be some kind of poet. It doesn't matter. The costumes are great. But the thing that I didn't realize about this is that every, gosh, I want to say 15 or 20 minutes, they do a little kind of dance presentation show and they rotate throughout the restaurant, which doesn't happen like this in this setup all the time. And because of the way this restaurant is set up, you really get to see the characters constantly. They're not like in a different room, in a different section. Everything is so open that you get to see them frequently before they come over to you. And just seeing them all the time and like really feeling closer to the characters moving around than usual, it just hit home for me. It was just a much superior character meal than other ones I've been to. And while I remember paying the check at Crystal Palace and being like, I can't believe I just spent, I think it was $200 on three of us, and I had like a spoonful of macaroni and cheese, I actually had time to eat at this one and interact with characters and enjoy myself, which I'm very glad for because the food was excellent. Now, I've almost never said a nice thing about a Disney pastry, but the pastry basket, the bread basket here was great. There was a good croissant. Like, I honestly can't even believe I'm saying that. And my food was good. I had a Mickey waffle. I was thrilled. It was really highly, highly recommended, which I know is echoing what everyone has said forever. But I didn't realize how much really the space added to the feel of this being nice. And then you can go outside on the patio after, take in the view, watch the skyline, or just take photos. It was wonderful. And I think it may, I mean, I've always said that the breakfast at Four Seasons is the best character breakfast at Disney. But honestly, that one's a buffet. And compared to this, I might be leaning towards this. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I might be leaning towards this. It was just that good. So afterwards, my plan was to go get coffee downstairs at the coffee shop because I wanted to try some of the pastries, do a little research, get a drink, a coffee drink, not a drink. And by the time I got down there, I wasn't feeling 100%. Now I have this, I gotta do it all brain. And I was already like, okay, if we go, I was like putting the jigsaw puzzle pieces together of like, okay, so if we park there, then we technically can take the Skyliner to Epcot. We can go to Epcot maybe just for an hour. We just go to Epcot, take Pearl to Epcot, bring her back, plop her in the car, drive her back. Like so easy. We're so close. And as much as I wanted to do my regular run and gun style Disney trip, when I got down there, I was like, you know, I'm not feeling great. And I wanted to get coffee and was like, you know, I'm real dehydrated. So maybe that should have been the first alarm bell for my extreme dehydration, because we ended up going back to the hotel. I made the responsible choice. We gave Pearl a hotel nap, which the way we'd structured it was one hotel nap a day. That flew out the window by the end of the trip. But having one solid nap per day in the hotel just makes things a lot easier and make sure she gets enough rest throughout the day. So we go back, Pearl goes to sleep. I pitched one heck of a Tiana's Bayou Adventure story while I was in this dehydration haze. And then I started to feel pretty bad. Now, was it the off-menu chicken sausage that I ordered that did not taste good and I ate it anyway? Possibly. That was the only thing that I got at Riviera, at Topolino's, that was not good, by the way. If it wasn't on the menu, why did I order it? I don't know. My mom did, and then I said the same. We both thought it was not great. Okay, anyway, everything else was wonderful. That aside, was it that? Don't know. Was it the fact that, oh, I don't know, maybe I was in 90-something degrees all day, and I fed Pearl 14 times? 14? Too many times. Okay, to back up, here's what happened. Babies can learn sign language before they can speak, before they can, like, verbally communicate. So we've been teaching Pearl sign language. She's been learning it. And there's a symbol that you can use for milk. Now, I didn't realize that she makes the milk symbol when she's like, I'm having milk, or I had milk, or milk's great. And I was just like, oh, I guess she's thirsty. And I just kept feeding her. And I was basically a human California raisin because I had no moisture left in my body. I realized I was crashing and I got in bed. And I basically didn't get out of bed for about 9 hours. There are plenty more details, which I will not be sharing here. But let's just say it was not pretty. It was dire. It was maybe one of the worst dehydration spirals I've ever had in my life. And it really, really was a wake-up call that made me realize that I do too much. I'd scheduled way too much for this trip, way too aggressively for having a baby, way too aggressively for it being this hot, way too aggressively for any human to sustain while at a theme park resort. And I generally realized that I need to approach what I do in these parks very differently. It took me like fully laid out to realize it, but I can't do it all as much as I had wanted to. And maybe a good sign should have been when it took me 2 weeks to schedule out this trip hour by hour. That was maybe a signal that things weren't gonna go so great. I thought I was on top of it by opting out of Genie Plus, but I was so wrong. And yes, it's my own fault, but also it's just sometimes visiting Disney World makes you feel this way. You feel like you have to book things, you have to schedule things, you have to do it all. Like, you're spending X amount of dollars on a ticket, you gotta make memories, you gotta do it all. And I always ride that wave, and I can no longer do it. I need to approach the way I visit a Disney park so differently. And I emerged from this illness with a new perspective on visiting Disney. So after resting, eating a sleeve of saltines, and drinking so much Powerade, I woke up the next morning feeling a little better, with a little more optimism for how I was going to approach the rest of the week, because I got so sick that I had to cancel all of my plans. I didn't really eat real food for about a day, maybe a day and a half. I had all this food research scheduled. I had multiple meetings and meetups with friends, all of that out the window. A huge brunch at homecoming out the window. I wanted to go so bad, but I couldn't. I mean, when you're sick, like, gravy's not the thing. Like a fried chicken and a donut, not the thing. So I had to really step back from what I wanted to do on this trip, which was a bummer. But it ends up, there was a little bit more of plans that I kind of had to live out, because aggressive me scheduled this trip in a way that the new and improved calm me was maybe not ready for. And we'll talk about that more after this break. Okay, you know that feeling that everyone knows something that you don't? For me, that used to be Quince, but no more. Quince is a truly astounding retailer, essentially carrying everything a person on your mood board would wear. We're talking washable silk blouses, chic leather bags, 14-karat gold jewelry, European linen dresses, and the best part of all is that Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They're up here with $50 Mongolian cashmere sweaters. $50! Beautiful, timeless items you can wear and actually live in. Meaning, you don't have to be scared to bring them on your theme park travels. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And if you're sensitive to retailers like I am, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. But it's not just your everyday work-life clothes. They have everything. I recently joined a new gym, big deal for me, and desperately needed new workout clothes to wear there. It's kind of like an LA gym. Like, you kind of got to look cute. So I ordered a pair of their Ultraform bike shorts and high-rise pocket leggings. And when I tell you, the quality of these leggings is truly on par with brands I paid three times as much for, which really kind of makes me love these three times more. I'm not only going to buy them again, but actually buy the other travel stuff in my cart, because they have things like beautiful pastel suitcases for $129 and these wildly affordable compression packing cubes that I have been waiting forever to buy compression packing cubes, and they're always so pricey, and here, the price fits. So if you want to get ready for work, your new gym, travel, anything in your life, go to Quince. Quince.com/amusing will get you free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Ooh, that's nice for someone who puts stuff off like I do. That's Quince.com/amusing to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/amusing.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.
Welcome back. So like I said, I had this new approach to Disney. I was going to be chill. I wasn't going to do too much. And then I had to switch hotels for the second of three times on my 1 week trip. Now, I didn't go into this trip anticipating switching hotels two times, staying in three different places. One of the main lessons I learned from bringing Pearl early on when she was younger in December was that switching a hotel with a baby is not fun. You finally have a system set up. It's like, here's the diapers, here's the wipes, here's the stuff, here's my stuff, here's the stuff I keep over here that I can go through. Here's how I get ready in the bathroom without waking her in the other room. There's so many elements to it, and having to pack all that up and unpack it again twice was a foolish chore. However, I booked this trip because this is the only week that I had open and can leave town for that amount of time before I had looked into hotels. And I knew I wanted to do Universal and Disney. So I knew I'd already have two hotels. I couldn't really get around that. But the Disney end of it, let's just say I was talking to a hotel that they were going to, full disclosure, they were going to put me up so I could review it, so I could talk about it, experience the hotel. Great. I wanted to stay there. I'd heard it was really cool. There was supposed to be like a full press trip that I was invited on that I couldn't make. I was like, great, I'll see this hotel. We'll hang out there. It looks like they have a ton of stuff for kids. They have a playground. They have all this water stuff. Great. I talked to them and they're like, we don't have availability. We can only have you here for like a night or two. And this is really getting into the nitty gritty of how this business works. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. I will book a different hotel. That's how I ended up at Old Key West, because I'm like, oh, this is a perfect opportunity to experience DVC. So I booked that Old Key West room on my own. I had one night between the two stays, which ideally I would have been able to add on to my old Key West reservation, but nothing popped up on the DVC end, on the cash booking end through Disney's website. Nothing popped up. And it's because of Run Disney, because the reason I think my stay was so affordable, I think I said it was it $640 a night before tax or maybe $670 after? Anyway, I think it was $680 after tax. The only reason I got that rate, I think, was because it was Monday through Thursday, and Thursday is when all of the Run Disney people arrived. So I kept thinking, like, surely a two-bedroom will come up, a two-bedroom villa, and I can just tack it onto this. Even if you have to move room to room at Old Key West, totally fine. It never came up. So about a week and a half before we left, I was like, okay, cool. So this other hotel kind of left me in the lurch, because when we whittled it down to about one night there, then they were like, just kidding. We don't have availability and nobody else does. So they kind of like really messed up my plans. It's fine. I'm not going to name them because I do want to stay there. I think it's going to be a nice hotel. But again, I should have just booked a hotel from, like, this is my huge mistake. So I ended up just trying to find somewhere that was, one, had a room, because Run Disney took over all the rooms in the area. I was booking last minute, and two, was somewhat affordable. And I ended up booking this really great hotel that I don't think I would have stayed at otherwise. It was JW Marriott, but not the Bonnet Creek one. I don't know if it's pronounced Grande or Grand Lakes. I'm going to say Grande because that makes more sense. Grande Lakes. It was about 20 to 25 minutes from Disney World, from the parks that we drove to from there. And it was actually a wonderful hotel. I'm so glad I ended up there, because it gave us a really great break from the theme park chaos. We went there and they had this wild pool, water slide, aqua center in the back. They had some like ropes course, but like an aquatic version, which I saw some kids doing, where like you get sprayed with water, but you're on a ropes course. It was very cool. We ended up having lunch there, and the lunch was pretty good. Like, it was just a really nice room. You got slippers, you got a robe, and you know I'm a sucker for those. And it was just nice. It was nice to be in like a JW Marriott. I got a great rate on it. I think it ended up being $400 and a change per night for the room. Yeah, that sounds about right. And it was really nice. It was like nice to be in a hotel where you can get room service, because you can't really do that in a lot of theme park hotels. So we had room service. It was lovely. So we wake up, we pack these zillions and zillions of bags that I have in the room into the car. I'm still not feeling great. But, you know, we had to leave. We had to move. We're taking it slow. We drive over to the new hotel. We check in. It's like, honestly, like another breath of fresh air. It's like so nice there. It's lovely. There's a fountain in the middle. It was just nice to chill out in this environment. I decided to have lunch at the hotel. Really, my brain is like, get to the parks. And I calmed myself. And I was like, I need to rest. I need to recuperate. I want to make sure that I have enough fluids in my body that I can sustain maybe making it back to the park. And the goal of the day was to rest, relax, have Pearl nap in the room, make sure everybody's just calm. And then if it works out, if I feel up to it, we will go to Animal Kingdom at the end of the day. Just a little bit. I wanted to go to Animal Kingdom, but the real goal was like a little bit of Animal Kingdom, really wanted to ride Dinosaur. And then I wanted to see Fantasmic. That would have been the ideal day. And I rested, I drank multiple Powerades, I had multiple liters of water, and I made it back to the parks. A grand recovery. I was out for about 30 hours, which for me is like a week at Disney that I didn't get to do. Like, I didn't get to capitalize. In that time, I was supposed to have like three meetings, three or four meals at Disney Springs, like so much stuff. But we peeled it back. You know, we like parred back. We were very easygoing. And I ended up getting to Animal Kingdom in time for the last hour of the day. And I was just so happy that I had made it back. I was feeling pretty good again. Granted, I wasn't really fully having a little food, still not 100%. But just, if I didn't feel well, I was going to leave, but just really wanted to experience it. And it made it that much more special. I took photos with Pearl in front of the Tree of Life. And then I got to accomplish one of the main goals that we talked about a few weeks ago, like things you got to do on your summer trip, because they might go away, probably are going away. And I got to go on Dinosaur. I finally got to go on Dinosaur. And I'll say, so I haven't been on in a while because I don't like it. It is scary. I don't like things popping out. I regularly say the reason I know I'm scared of things popping out is because I went on Dinosaur. But going through it, knowing it will very, very, very asterisk, supposedly very, very likely be changing in the future, I really got to appreciate how great of an attraction it is. The backstory is so rich. The queue is incredible. And really, there's so many audio animatronics on here that look pretty good. I was able to kind of see it more clearly in that light, knowing that I will likely never go on this attraction again, unless maybe over the summer I'll force myself back on it as like an official goodbye. But I got to spend about a half an hour really soaking up the details of Dinoland USA to say a real proper goodbye. And I'm so glad I did, because that land is so rich with detail. And it's, you know, I love new. I think that Disney parks constantly reinventing themselves is the only reason that they are still so successful. But it is hard to say goodbye to classic stuff like this. And the level of design in these spaces, in that shop, Restaurantosaurus, like there's so many details and so many gags and so many jokes. And it was really nice to be able to just walk through. I went on Dinosaur. I got in line before the park closed. So when I left, it was pretty empty. And I just got to walk out and enjoy it for what it is. I also got to cross another thing off my bucket list and take Pearl to the Boneyard. I'd never been in the Boneyard because I hadn't been to that part of Animal Kingdom with kids before. I didn't do it with Pearl when we were there before. Oh, great, because we only went on Navi River Journey. Anyway, sorry, mental. I got to take her to the Boneyard. She got to crawl around. We went down the slide. It was really nice. And I'm glad I did it, because the Boneyard is incredible. I'm so bummed it's going to go away because it's so nice. I trust that they'll have some sort of other play area that they'll be putting in when that area becomes Tropical Americas. Watch this space during D23 later this year. But it was really, really nice. And I got to meet up with my friend Kelly and Asher. Hi, Asher. I know you're listening. It was so lovely to see you. And I got to see Kelly for a few moments, which was more than I expected because, again, I had cleared my calendar because I wasn't feeling well. And being able to see them in Animal Kingdom because they just happened to be there while we were there was really, really special and really nice. It was nice. So we did all that. And then I was kind of like, you know what? I think I can do it. I think I can do it. I think I can go to Disney's Hollywood Studios. And the timing worked out perfectly, where we had about an hour before Fantasmic. And we left, we hopped in the car, drove over to Hollywood Studios. I think it was like an 8-minute drive, pulled in. When you arrive at these parks late at night, parking is a dream. It is a dream. It is wonderful. So we just parked real close, got out, walked in, and we were like, let's see Fantasmic. As a Disneyland local, I don't watch Fantasmic at Disney World a lot because we have, for, you know, what most people believe is the superior version here on the Rivers of America at Disneyland. And I was just kind of like, I don't need it. Their boat full of characters is smaller. Like, I'm not going to prioritize my nighttime entertainment around it. I'll do Happy Labor After. I'll ride rides at night. I'll go to dinner. Like, I don't really need to be seeing Fantasmic. And I was wrong. Especially with a kid, this is the nighttime entertainment you want to see. Because if you're like me, where you're just like a little stressed all the time, Magic Kingdom fireworks with a child, Epcot with a child, it's a little like, I don't know where to go. I guess you can stand here, you can stand there. Do I stand behind you? Do I like book a dining thing? Do I book a dessert party? Like, it's just too many options for where to go. Fantasmic, you can show up towards the end and there's almost likely still going to be a seat for you. Now, we went on a night, what night? You know, I may have gotten my dates wrong earlier. I think this was actually a Friday night because there were, was there two showings? I really can't remember. I'm so sorry. But anyway, we went and it was either the first of two showings. It had to have been. And we went, we like took our time, we grabbed some food. I got some concessions once we were inside. And my whole thing was like, I don't know if Pearl's going to like this. If we have to leave, I'm happy to leave. We're going to try nighttime entertainment. That's like my attitude with all the stuff with Pearl. We're going to try it. If it doesn't work out, no problem. We will leave. We will walk away. We will exit, but we're going to try it. And so we ended up going in and sitting in what you would call, quote unquote, the worst seats. We consciously like arrived probably five minutes before the show started because we like didn't care where we sat. It was totally cool. So we ended up, if you've been in this area, the amphitheater area before, there's the main pathway. And then in front of you towards the stage, there's the majority of seating. And then if you go all the way down, there's a little bit, maybe like 20 rows of risers in the back that nobody's really at. And we sat there and we had the most wonderful time because the view was actually great. I thought we were not going to be able to see anything in these nosebleed seats. No, we could see everything and we had almost a full bench to ourselves so Pearl could move around. Pearl wanted to crawl during the show. It was totally fine. Pearl wanted some snacks. Like, we were able to spread out and really enjoy ourselves in a calm manner, which I cannot say the same for other nighttime entertainment because we literally have not survived it. I was supposed to see Epcot's with Pearl in December and she freaked out, so we left. So I haven't been able to do this yet, and it was so nice. Now, I forgot that their Fantasmic has more of a mountainous layout, and I love that the show is more vertical than horizontal, as opposed to, I mean, there's a little bit of vertical at Disneyland, of course, but it was really great. It was really great. I've been sleeping on Fantasmic Disney World styles for a while, and I'm so glad we were able to do it. I'm so glad we were able to, like, even though we only had probably 2.5 hours total at the parks, we were able to do what we wanted at Animal Kingdom at the end of the day because nobody was there. And we were able to see Fantasmic easily with no plans or reservations. And it really just made me feel like we were on the right path to visiting these parks correctly. Because when it's boiling hot out, and when the weather and dehydration takes you down to the level it did for me, it was really nice to kind of flip Disney planning on its head. No 7 a.m. wake up, no booking and scheduling lightning lanes, none of that. We just decided to wing it, and it worked out wonderfully. And I definitely, definitely want to use that approach again. So I woke up the next morning and I leaned into relaxing. I was supposed to have a totally different schedule. I was supposed to go to brunch, then check out of the hotel, then go to the parks and do food research for a few hours. But I decided, again, we're taking it easy. I don't want to, I guess relapse would be the right word because it was so hot still. So I spent the morning in the room just getting ready alone with Pearl. I packed up. We had a lovely room service breakfast. I got her scrambled eggs. I got myself an omelet with the best hash browns. This JW Marriott Grande Lakes, by the way, booked a package online. Came with a $50 room credit. Use that. My room service order was about $47 with tips, so I just rounded it up. Excellent. And that room rate through the Marriott website or whatever, is that Bonvoy? I don't know. But I booked it through there, and that was cheaper than the regular rate without the free parking and free $50. So just keep that in mind. It was a nice hotel, like a remove, so you felt a little different. It was nice. Great pool. Tons of pools. It's like a Vegas vibe. There were so many pools. Anyway. While it is tough to put on makeup, pack suitcases, get ready for the day, and feed a curious baby in a non-baby-proofed room in an environment, we did it. I somehow got ready for the day, got Pearl ready, got everything packed up. And I think it's now probably a good time to admit that a small dream of mine is to take Pearl to Disney World alone. Or maybe not take her alone, but at least be with her there alone. I don't feel like I have my mom PhD yet. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so much easier with a secondary adult there, whether it's family, whether it's not, just having another person there to be like, hey, can you hold her for a sec while I go to the bathroom? Like, something like that makes it so much easier. And I'm new at this. I've only been doing this for a year. I feel like maybe I've graduated mom high school. Maybe I'm enrolled in sophomore year of mom college. But again, I don't have that mom PhD. I don't really feel like I can take her for 3 or 4 full days on my own in a different environment. Sometimes I don't know if other parents feel like this, but sometimes I just feel like I'm a teenager who's babysitting. You know what I mean? And by the end of this morning, I really felt kind of like a boss. I was like, I am on top of it. Like, I got the bags packed. I called Bell Services. I called the valet. I had tips for everyone ready. I was ready to go. I grabbed Pearl. Like, I got everything in the car. I really felt so accomplished just by doing pretty basic checkout stuff. But doing it with a baby on my own really felt great. And I really want to chase that high. And I did all the way to Epcot. Because once we had the car packed up and everything, we went to Epcot and Pearl promptly fell asleep in the parking lot, which was not the plan, but it's totally fine because I sat there and was really, I don't know, proud of myself for being able to handle all of the curveballs, travel and working and all that can throw at you. Because again, packing up a room, feeding a baby, changing her, getting yourself ready, doing all of it, getting out the door, getting everything locked and loaded and on the road is so challenging. And we did it, and it really felt like an accomplishment. Once she woke up, we moseyed into Epcot. At this point, I am breezing through security. I know which objects of mine are metal, which are the ones you usually hold out in front of you. I know to put them in the stroller carry thing, the little stroller carry bin, and you put them there and then they don't go through. It's a whole thing. If you know, you know, but I had mastered it at this point. And then I went on Test Track. And Test Track, again, if you listened a few weeks ago, it's one of those rides that I wanted to do before they change it because it is closing soon. Test Track, my old boy Test Track needs the update. I went on it and had like almost no fun. Honestly, this ride needs an update. It's just not very fun to be in a car at a theme park. You want to be in like a themed car. You don't want to be in a car that's just skidding off the road intentionally. I'm so over Test Track. I think this is so outdated and not really fun anymore, because if we're in a world where like AI is literally stealing our jobs and the highlight of this is making a fake car on a screen, I think we're past this. And I think it desperately needs some updates. Again, I say it a lot, doing a lap out in the parking lot in Epcot where you blast outside and it's you just get hot air in your face. It's not fun. There are so many other themed attractions that outshine this, like truly even ones that don't even have ride vehicles. So I am over Test Track. Goodbye, Test Track. And also, it is truly unhinged that you can walk off Test Track and there are multiple people that are willing to sell you a car. Like, there are full-blown, Chevrolet employees standing in front of, trucks, SUVs, crossovers, midsize, I don't know the words, but they're standing in front of vehicles with, like, paperwork and a clipboard being like, hello, would you like to buy a car today? So apparently you can't, like, actually buy a car in Epcot. You can just talk to the cast members, the employees there, and they can refer you to your home dealership, and you can, I think they send you stuff in the mail from what I've read. It doesn't matter. It's still strange to me that they are basically propping up vehicles to be like, you want to buy a vehicle after you exit Test Track? It is strange. We don't talk about it enough how strange it is. And just because you can't literally drive it out the gift shop and then home to your house, it doesn't mean it's that weird. Isn't that weird that you can like sit in like a truck, like an SUV, and just like sit in an SUV and be like, maybe I'll buy this at home? That's so bizarre. It's so bizarre, isn't it? I don't think I'm the only one who feels this way. It's just very strange. It's very strange. Like, that wouldn't happen on Winnie the Pooh. You wouldn't, like, get off Winnie the Pooh and then there's, like, jars of honey where it's like, oh, would you like to inquire about purchasing honey if only honey cost, what, like, $40,000? I don't know how much cars cost. I don't get it. But anyway, it's weird. It's weird and I stand behind it and the ride needs to be redone. The end. It was still so, so hot out, and I could tell that Pearl was getting a little too warm for my comfort level. So we fed her, we kind of like wheeled her through as many air-conditioned spaces as possible, and then we went back to Moana, and we had her play with the water, and she really loved it this time. She was slow to warm up on the first visit because, you know, she had just gone to the swim class, and it was a little scary for her. But by this time, when she was playing in the interactive area, she was playing with other kids, it was just really nice, and she was able to enjoy it even more than she had the other day. And because, listen, I had recuperated, I had gotten a lot of Powerade, but I was kind of like, oh, I want to maybe take the monorail to Magic Kingdom to get Starbucks there. Like, my wheels were turning. I wanted to do so much Disney. Knowing we were leaving Disney soon, I wanted to do so much more. So we ended up just taking a monorail ride. We took a monorail ride to the Transportation Ticket Center and back to Epcot just because I wanted to, and this is so mom of me, I'm sorry, but I wanted to compare a video of Pearl in her stroller, because you can bring your strollers on your monorail here. Pearl in her stroller on the monorail now compared to December, and it is two completely different children. I honestly can't even believe it. It confuses my brain. I'm so glad that I have those I could put side by side to compare. It was now like kind of towards the afternoon. Again, we really took it slow. And I still had some essential food research at Disney Springs I had to tackle. There's some stuff I had put off there's some stuff I opted out of doing because I didn't feel well, but I really kind of hadn't eaten a real meal in a while. And I really had to do this research. So I had to go to Eat by Manit, which is a newer restaurant at Disney Springs. It is an Indian restaurant. We ordered honestly half the menu. The food was pretty good. Some stuff was better than others. The one critique I have about it is actually not the food. The food had actual spice, and I'm going to update my eater guide to Disney Springs. That's the reason I went. So I'm going to wait until I do that to do a full review. But they had some really spicy sauces, and I was blown away. It's definitely the spiciest food you can get in Disney World, which for me is great because I love spicy food. But it was expensive. It was really expensive. And I don't know if they're going to be able to make these prices work in the long term. Because while we were there, a lot of people were coming in and out, and it was just for their happy hour. We went between, I think it's 2 and 5, and they have half price drinks, which is what I think the special was. And people were just coming in to get drinks and leaving. Sidebar, I don't know how I was this dehydrated with zero libations, and everyone else was just coming in and walking around in the heat drinking. Jealous, wish my body worked like that. It don't. But the food was good. The food was good, but there wasn't really, the cheesecake was excellent and a lot of the food was good. But again, I'm kind of hesitant to recommend it because it's pricey. It was really pricey in a way I was surprised by for a quick service restaurant. And after that, again, more on that soon. After that, I went to Summer House on the Lake. I met up with my friend Zach and his wife, Becca. That was wonderful. Hi, Zach, if you're listening. And I got the cookies. They have this famous cookie bar, which everyone's like, bypass Gideon's and go to the cookie bar. I will say there are two very, very different cookies. Gideon's cookies are much different from a Summer House cookie. Gideon's cookies are really their own beast. They are these half-pound behemoths that are like a harder cookie on the outside and a soft, more cookie dough-like consistency on the inside. And the ratio of chocolate to cookie is unlike anything else. Here, these were just a lot of varieties of bigger cookies. And the cookies we did get, I thought, were great. They have so many. They're about $5 each. The lemon one was excellent. The peanut butter one was good. It had brittle on top. It was a little more dry because sometimes that happens with peanut butter cookies. But the lemon one was great. But Zach told me to get the Rice Krispie treat. It's a brown butter Rice Krispie treat. And that was a hit. That thing was excellent. I would 100% get that again. It was so good. It was gone within about 10 minutes because we devoured all of it. I was supposed to also dine at that restaurant. I had to clear my schedule, but this restaurant is huge. I didn't realize how big Summer House on the Lake is. It is gigantic. It also comes from my favorite restaurant group, Let Us Entertain You. They have a stronghold in Chicago with all of most of my favorite Chicago restaurants are those. And I will definitely be coming back here the next time I can because it looked really great. A lot of the reviews I'd seen of the restaurant weren't negative. They were just kind of mid. They were like, the food's okay. And so I wasn't like, oh, this is a centerpiece meal. We have to do it on this trip. I was like, oh, if I can get there, I'll get there. I'll try to on this trip. I'll dine there quickly, shove it into the schedule. But I need to go back because it's a beautiful space and the cookies were great. So hopefully the food is better than what I've seen other people report. That really wrapped up our day at Disney World because that started the universal leg of the trip. Yeah, there's a whole other theme park resort. A whole other theme park resort we haven't yet discussed. Oh boy. Universal Orlando Resort was the main reason I was going to Florida because I hadn't been in years. This isn't really the ideal theme park resort for you when you're pregnant because there's a lot of things you can't do. And my favorite things to do there are the roller coasters. So it just didn't make any sense. So now that Pearl was kind of older, it was doable. It was doable. And I'm so glad that I went. We arrived that evening and I checked into Universal Sapphire Falls, which I haven't stayed at in, I want to say probably 6 years. It's been a while. And the reason I stayed there was because they have this room type that it blows my mind. It's called a kids suite, and they have a full second bedroom in some regular hotel rooms for children. The one that I had that connected was kind of on the corner, and it had two, I want to say twin beds. They were teeny tiny beds for kids, which Pearl obviously doesn't use, but it had two beds, a table and chairs, a comfy chair, a TV, like a pure kid space. These things are clutch. I don't know if I can go back to a regular hotel room after staying in this because it was that with a door that you can close so you can actually have the lights on at night. It was excellent. I kept Pearl in there. I could hear her through the wall if anything happened, if she would cry in the middle of the night, could hear her. Wonderful. 100 out of 10 Sapphire Falls for the win. We also had a wonderful Bell Services dude who like walked us up and talked to us for a while, which I love. I love to meet people. I love to chit chat. It was nice. We were supposed to have other dinner plans that night. We decided to flip-flop them and we ended up going to Strongwater Tavern. It's right in the lobby there. And this has to be one of, if not the peak hidden gem at Universal Orlando Resort. This place is so good. Now, they specialize in a vast array of rum cocktails, which, given my week, I was not having. But also, the menu has regional cuisine that you cannot get anywhere else at Universal. I mean, they have a ceviche menu, but then they separate it by different inspiration location. They have Little Havana, Jamaica and Little Haiti, Mexico, U.S. Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, and Colombia. And they have different menu items corresponding to each region. It's basically like tapas style. So you order a bunch from all over and the food is excellent. Basically, I can't believe that I can roll up to my theme park hotel and order curried goat for dinner. Goat, if you haven't had it, fantastic. And theirs was absolutely fantastic as well. I ordered the arroz con pollo. Oh gosh, what else did we get? Did we get the seafood tostada? We got the buttermilk fried chicken tenders, which actually I thought was the weakest of the items. Everything else was much, much better. We got, we got so much stuff. It was so good. Again, I will be writing about this extensively and posting on social media, so I apologize for not knowing off the top of my head exactly what we ate, because, oh gosh. Okay, wait, I'm going to look it up. Hold on one sec. Okay, I think it's not on the actual menu that's online, but we got these arepas, which were wonderful. And I wasn't sure if this was going to be the type of environment you could bring a child to because it's, you know, mostly a rum bar with a ton of food. And yet it went wonderfully. There was a live band who were so talented. They sang an original song, which I got to tell you, I thought was like a smash hit. And it was theirs. At the end, they were like, that was an original. And I was floored. I was gagged, as you might say. And we ate there with Pearl. It was great. She had a wonderful time. Like, I cannot recommend Strongwater Tavern enough. Even if you're not staying at this hotel, take a boat over from City Walk if you're in Universal Orlando, especially like when things are busier in the summer and all the restaurants in City Walk are very, very busy. This was not as busy. Like, this restaurant was excellent. I cannot recommend it enough. It was a lovely experience. Pearl clapped after every song the band played. Like, we just had an absolutely joyous night, which was followed by me for the first time in a week closing a little door and being able to shower at night without worrying about waking her, having the lights on so I could pack and unpack. Hoo boy, it was lovely. While I had originally intended to, yes, again, go to Universal Orlando Parks all 3 days that I was kind of on property at Universal, I had to pull back again, and that is fine because we are doing our best. We woke up in the morning and we got ready pretty quickly before we headed out the door to the parks. Now, they have boat transportation between Sapphire Falls and City Walk, which is where you get dropped off to enter the theme parks. And I could not have been more pleasantly surprised by this. I learned that both at Old Key West and here, you can just bring your stroller on and not have to fold it when you go on the boats if there's enough room, which was so great. So we basically like went through security for the parks at the hotel before we got on the boat, got that out of the way before we got there, pulled onto the boat, had the best team member I think I've ever seen at Universal telling jokes, cracking jokes while leading the boat. It was unreal. And then we arrived and I originally was thinking we'd go to Islands of Adventure first. And I was like, you know what? I want to go on the Mummy. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling back. I want to go to Universal Studios Florida. And so we went in. I got to see that new Minions Land, which had opened since my last visit. We walked through and I started at the Mummy. And it was so nice to be back on the superior version of the Mummy. Your brain remembers, but your body forgets. The pyro budget on these rides at Universal is very high. And just feeling the warmth of that fire was so nice. After I did that, I took turns. My nanny went on the Mummy. And then I hung out with Pearl for like 20 minutes and we got to watch the Blues Brothers. We got to like dance along. And then I let Pearl crawl through one of like the New York side alleyways. There was nobody there. It was totally deserted. And I took some unbelievable photos of her in front of these like old New York building facades. It's so good. And I know that you know, they say Universal isn't really for small children. That is truly only true until June 14th. When the DreamWorks sections opened. But I loved being there with her. I loved like taking photos of her in these silly themed environments. There was live entertainment. Like, there was still plenty to do with her, even if she couldn't go on the majority of the attractions. And I just had such a nice time with her. Now, our tickets to Universal had Express Pass. I had arranged with the park itself because I was like, I have to cram a lot in. I need to go on, like, I have to like catch up to what I hadn't been doing for so long. So we were able to get Express Pass, which, again, worth paying for or staying at a hotel where it grants it to you, which the money might work better if you stay at a hotel. One of the like kind of deluxe level hotels will give you Express Pass at Universal. And that way you can skip the lines, which is so immensely helpful. But the thing that I didn't realize would be even more helpful on this trip was a stroller, because I hate the locker system at Universal. I hate it. You have to remember where your ticket is. Like, the one in Diagon Alley is cursed. It is cursed. That little tight little room with everyone waiting in line to get absolutely not. No, I don't want to go in there. And being able to put stuff in the stroller was a game changer to avoid the locker. However, my plan originally was to lean into using Child Swap. I thought, oh, if both of us have Express Pass, then one can go on the ride, one can wait in the child exchange swap room, and then we could just bing, bing, boom, power through both all the rides even more quickly and be able to cram all of Universal in much less time. What I did not realize was that, and again, just as a primer for people who aren't familiar with Child Swap, it basically lets an adult ride while the non-riders wait. And then the adult takes over to assist Pearl in this case, to watch Pearl, the child who can't ride, while the rest of the party goes on the ride. There's many different breakdowns of that. That's not always the scenario used for Child Swap. But for us, that was the plan. And I didn't realize, and again, this is very specific for if you are traveling with children, I didn't realize you couldn't bring the stroller in. So if you do child swap, you have to carry the child through the whole queue and then have none of your stuff, none of the stroller while you're in that child swap room, which did not work for us because I wasn't feeling great. I couldn't hold Pearl for that long, that many times. So we ended up using the stroller a lot more than I thought. We, after we did that, we went to Minions Cafe. Yes, we did that early. I forgot about that. And we got to talk about this, whatever, Illumination Minion Cafe, because it is one of the best theme park restaurants in the world. In the world. I'm not exaggerating. I am not exaggerating here. Minion Cafe, the hype is real. Now, when I rolled up, I'd seen people talk about the Minion-shaped tater tots, and they were like, cute. And I knew Alicia Stella loved it here, which is why I wanted to go. But I didn't realize this place went so hard. Truly. I thought it was going to be like banana French toast, maybe a burger with like a fried plantain on it and a banana bun. Actually, that sounds delicious. They should have done that. It was not that at all. The menu was legitimately so good, even outside of the Minion stuff. I ordered two kids' meals. One was their, I think it's called the Fredonia mac and cheese. I'm going to pull up the menu just so I don't get anything wrong, Orlando. And it came with like a little tiny flag in it, which was cute, and Minion tots floating in it, which, again, amazing. And then I got their kids' grilled cheese. And the reason I ordered this, because usually like a theme park children's grilled cheese, not great, not worth writing home about. This one was a pimento grilled cheese. It was so delicious. I couldn't believe that this was a kid's meal. Pimento cheddar grilled cheese. The Fredonia Festival of Mac and Cheese was mini shells and a creamy white cheddar cheese sauce. And all of these meals came with Minion tots, came with a teeny tiny mini banana, just a little banana, and they all cost under $10. Like, I got both of these and was blown away by them. We also got real food. There's so many things on this menu you wouldn't expect. Crispy cauliflower with coconut blue rice, a full ramen bowl, tonkatsu broth at Minion Cafe. Who would have thought? Wood-grilled salmon with Thai cucumbers and edamame. But I didn't, they got a honeymoon soup. Like they have salads, they have all this stuff. But the thing I got was this, basically this, I guess you'd maybe call it a calzone. It was like a big old hot pocket. It was a big old pizza pocket. It was a little less calzone-y, more pizza pocket. And it was Mel's Meatball Mountain. It's a wood oven-baked stuffed pizza with meatballs, basil, fresh mozzarella, and marinara. And when I tell you there were full basil leaves in my Minion Cafe lunch, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I've nary seen a full basil leaf in many other restaurants, anywhere at Universal, for sure. Never at Disney. I don't think pulling out a full basil leaf out of my pizza pocket. This thing was so good. The pizza dough was like kind of like hard on the outside, soft. It was like soft on the inside. It was like a doughy pizza dough. The meatballs were actually good. They were good. And I don't really like meatballs. And I was like, that's a good meatball. Pulling out basil leaves, delicious, like mozzarella served at the exact right temperature. I thought it would have been like, it's not, you know, stringy, stretchy mozzarella anymore. It was hot and then it cooled down and then it arrived at my table. No, no. This place is excellent. I didn't have enough space in my body to try the desserts. I know that people love the Otto's Pet Rock. I've seen it a lot online. I don't know if people like the flavor of it. They just think it's funny, I think. But then again, peanut butter mousse, strawberry jelly, crushed peanuts, banana cake dipped in a chocolate shell. Delicious. And the thing that I am really upset I didn't get, because again, this was one of my first meals back. Like I was still getting back. I didn't want to order too much. Was the Minion Swiss roll, vanilla cake with a pineapple, cardamom, whipped ganache, passion fruit, banana with a chocolate shell. The Minions Cafe did not need to do this, and yet they did. And I am amazed. I am amazed that this is the Minion Cafe menu. This is not the Minion Cafe menu for our version of Minion Cafe in Universal Studios Hollywood. No, no. It is not as aggressive and great as this one. I would eat back here. I would eat here in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat, to the point that usually when I do, you know, food research, when I'm trying a bunch of stuff for work, I don't finish my dishes. And I finished my food here. It was that good. This was probably the best mac and cheese I had the entire trip. And I got a lot of mac and cheese at all different restaurants, all different places, and this was the best one. Again, run, don't walk to Illumination's Minion Cafe. It was phenomenal. After that wonderful meal, we went to the new Minions attraction. That's what we did after. We did Illumination's Villain Con Minion Blast. That full name has not ingrained itself in my brain yet. But listen, I don't like to be negative about attractions because I think the more attractions we can get, the more new attractions, everybody always wins. It's always nice to have new attractions. And this is definitely going to be more appealing and more entertaining, as hard as it is for me to say, than a Shrek attraction like the one that used to be in its place. Now, we're getting better Shrek with the opening of that DreamWorks Land in June, so it's fine. But I did not love Villain Con Minion Blast. And part of the reason is that it made me kind of nauseous. Granted, I was not feeling great. I was very, very dehydrated. But something about being on this moving conveyor belt, standing still, holding a device. In this case, it's the, what is that Minion Blast gun called? It's like a laser blaster. Let's just say a blaster. Pointing it at screens, trying to chase little things on a screen while moving through space. It kind of messed me up. And I usually don't get nauseous from stuff, but something about this just didn't work for me. Everyone on the attraction seemed to be having a really nice time. There were a lot of families doing it together. I love that it's interactive, so regardless of your age or your ability, you can enjoy it. But for me, this just, it wasn't right for me. And I walked off and I immediately knew, like, I'm not going to be able to do roller coasters today, which is a bummer because I really, really, really wanted to do Velocicoaster. And I knew once I got off of that and I did not feel so hot that it just wasn't going to happen, which is sad that VillainCon took me down. I think the theming is great. I think it's a great offering for that space. I love that there's more ways to interact with minions than the other attraction they already have. But just for me, it was a bit of a miss. It was a bit of a miss, sadly. I rectified the situation, of course, by going on ET. Felt great. Always feel great going on ET. Ooh, that standing water in the final scene. Ooh, la la. It is great. I gave ET Pearl's name because ET never says my name right. And ET didn't say Pearl, which is fine. It's totally fine. I was hoping to hear Pearl, but it didn't happen. Pearl. After that, we met the Simpsons. I waved hello to the tippy top of Shrek's house, which you can see from the outside of the DreamWorks Land construction. And then we headed to Wizarding World of Harry Potter. And I was so stoked because I had not been on Gringotts in years and years and years and years. And I actually, because that queue is so special and so fun, I brought Pearl in. We actually did child swap for that one. So I brought Pearl. I got to carry her in the queue. I got to take photos of my Pearl in the queue, which was fun. She got to enjoy the pre-show. She didn't mind the elevator situation. And again, love seeing a space that's new to me in a park I've been to a zillion times. So the process of walking and taking an elevator up to the child swap room was fun. She got to hang out in there. I, again, had never been in these spaces. They were playing Harry Potter on the TV. Very cool. Got to go on Gringotts. I was in the last row and I forgot how, at the beginning, I guess we can spoil it. It's been a while, but at the beginning you go when the ride vehicle pops up before the dip. I was all the way at the top and I was like, wow, it really is that high. It was excellent. And then we took the Hogwarts Express to travel to Universal's Islands of Adventure. And I don't know if it was the timing or what was going on. I think a lot of people had Express Pass when we were there because I'm pretty sure I saw someone in the regular queue like get on the Hogwarts Express before us, which is, I don't say to be like, we had Express. I say that to be like the timing of the lines. Hogwarts Express is really tricky when you have a stroller when you need to use an elevator, because I've never really paid attention to it. Because again, I was traveling these parks solo. I was living my life. And there is a very, very steep staircase up. So if you have any mobility issues or you use a wheelchair or you have a stroller, you have to wait in line in a slow line for an elevator, which took a while. I hadn't really anticipated that. I totally forgot about the stair situation. You have to take an elevator up and then an elevator down on the other end. All said and done, from park to park, it took us about 45 minutes. And we've been using Express Pass. And that, I feel like, to lose an hour on transportation, even though it is a show, just wasn't, I didn't love it. My brain keep going. I would maybe reconsider leaving the park and walking all the way out to Islands of Adventure if I had been feeling fully up to it. But regardless, it is always a fun experience to take the Hogwarts Express. We got there and then, we just wanted to feel it out with Hagrid's Magical Creatures Motorbike Adventure. We thought maybe there was a chance. I heard like the line dips after 4 for a little. Maybe we check it out. No, not the case. And that's when we learned, oh yeah, it was, I believe, grad night. It was like some grad bash, whatever they call it, where apparently High schoolers from all over the country fly to Universal Orlando for a party after hours. So these resorts were packed not just with teens, which is fine, but with teens who are the exact type of person who are willing to wait in line 2 hours for a roller coaster. I am old. I cannot do that. And so the line when we like thought it was at 2 hours for most of the day for Hagrid's, like a full 120, 130 minutes. We thought maybe it would dip towards the end of the day. It went up. It was at 3 hours by the time we left the park. So sadly, I did not get to ride it. A bit of a bummer, but I totally understand. It's totally fine. The single rider line was closed because the line was so long. The line was like far out beyond the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. And, you know, it's fine, but it is what it is. I ended up walking through. We went to the Jurassic Park themed play area, which Pearl loved. Pearl and I, what else did we do? Pearl and I went on a little Seuss Landing adventure. We went to the play area. We walked around. We kind of just explored. She like crawled through the Seuss play area. But what I didn't anticipate is that I really wanted to go to Circus McGurkus to get food because they apparently have this incredible new menu with like a chicken waffle thing that's inside a peanut. It sounds great. Apparently they redid the food. And if judging for how great Minion's Cafe was, I thought this was going to be excellent. They closed earlier than I anticipated, which was so strange because I'm pretty sure IOA, Islands of Adventure, was open way later that night for all this grad stuff. And yet it closed at 5. So I was there probably 5:20. I really needed food. And the whole restaurant was closed. And I saw multiple people walk up being like, oh, man. So I ended up going to get green eggs and ham tots. Green eggs and ham tots because, you know, when in Rome. And even that stand closed at 6. So by the time I got my food, they had closed. And I saw even more people walk up and be like, oh no, they're closed. I'm hungry. I don't know what's going on in that park, but there's like no food after 5, really. And it's really hard to get something that's an actual meal. I was able to get tots. I got them. They were great. Circus McGurkus will have to happen next time. But after that, we really just did a whole lap of the park. And I'll tell you, having spent so much time elsewhere, having not been to Islands of Adventure in so long, walking through IOA really feels like you're walking through a YouTube video of a theme park from 15 years ago. I can't explain it, but something about like the comic strip area, and then you go through this bonkers Marvel area that like the MCU compared to this very different situation. Like you're just, it's all retro, the comic strip retro. You see like Wolverine plastered on the wall, like Spider-Man, like, but not the Tom Holland one, a different one. Like it's just retro, retro, retro. Walking through it just feels like you're in a YouTube video. That's the only way I can explain it. It's like beautifully jarring. I really love it because I don't anticipate just with the way things are going that these lands are going to, I can't imagine there'll be a comic strip land 10 years from now. Look at Epic Universe. It's like primo technology. The theming people really are craving. The comic strip stuff is going to go. I mean, maybe they'll just keep it and it'll be a throwback and funny, but it's definitely not drawing crowds. Like people aren't coming here to eat Kathy ice cream. You know what I mean? So I just feel like I'm really glad I soaked it up and just locked it in the memory bank before anything changes in the future. We left the park because we were running late for a reservation at Big Fire. Now, this is the huge chop house steakhouse restaurant in the middle of Universal City Walk. I'd eaten here before once or twice for like media stuff, but I never had an actual meal here. And once I got there, I realized, oh, this restaurant is way louder than I remembered. Like it's gigantic inside. There's multiple dining rooms. They're cooking everything in the middle. Like it is a show. And we had a baby. So I waited extra for an outdoor table. And let me tell you, you should do the same because the outdoor dining here was perfect. They have about 5 or 6 tables. You're near like this fire feature, not too close where it's scary, but like nice enough where it's like delightful on a chilly night. And then you got to just people watch. You got to watch all of City Walk while sitting at your table. And I much preferred that dining inside. I think I will absolutely come back and do that. It was the perfect environment. The food was pretty good. We had this, I think it was beer cheese fondue was the highlight of the night, but it was an appetizer. It was great. I got Pearl some salmon, which was nice. I had a burger and french fries, which was pretty good. Like it was a really, really, really nice setup. And then we took the boat back to the hotel. Our last night there, like it was just such a wonderful way to end the trip. Or so I thought, because as tired as I was, you know, we had a 5:30 p.m. flight. And the second I woke up that last Monday morning, the wheels were turning. The wheels were turning and churning in my brain. Because the plan was to go to Volcano Bay the morning of checkout. And Volcano Bay was a great idea for the other 6 or 7 days of the trip when it was 90-something degrees. The morning we woke up, 60. 60-something degrees. Not hot out. And I'm like, I can't bring a baby who's already a little averse about water, which I learned about on this trip, to Volcano Bay where a 200-foot volcano is roaring in her face. So I made the decision, having covered all the ground we wanted to at the two theme parks, we did it all in a day. God bless Express Pass, really makes it easy. Like, you can get so much done with Express Pass. We did everything we wanted to do. I couldn't go to Volcano Bay because of the weather. And so, you know, I maybe opened my Disney World app. I was like, you know, I didn't get to take her on Navi River Journey and she really liked that. So why don't we just, let's just buy a lightning lane for it. Let's buy Genie Plus, Animal Kingdom Genie Plus, cheaper than the rest of Genie Plus. I think it was probably $18. Let's just buy a lightning lane for, you know, for Navi River Journey and see what happens. Just have an insurance policy so that, you know, we can lean into it if we have to. And yeah, I dragged my girl to Animal Kingdom. Now it was, like I mentioned, I don't feel mom enough yet mentally, physically to like handle a full Disney World theme park trip. I did just take her to Disneyland on my own for the first time. It was so exciting. I did it. It was stressful just because I was nervous about it because, you know, I don't want her to be uncomfortable. I want her to be happy. Like, I don't want her to be in the car too long. But our hotel was only, because we left in the morning, it was only like a 25-minute drive to Animal Kingdom. It was totally doable. So I booked it. I woke her up. We took our time getting ready. We had breakfast in the room. We fully destroyed a towel with all the oatmeal she ate. sorry, Universal. I just plopped her down on a towel. We ate oatmeal for breakfast. And we like snuck out to Animal Kingdom. It was so exciting. I felt like I was riding a high. And we got there. And I, again, only had an hour at Animal Kingdom. I ended up booking another lightning lane for Safari. And by the time I got there, the wait was, I think, 80 minutes. And I knew in my theme park brain, there was not a chance we'd be able to do both. If I went on Safari, I'd be rushing. We wouldn't get to do Navi River Journey, the one thing I really wanted to do. And so I abandoned it. We didn't go on the Safari. It's totally okay. We can go another time. We ended up walking around. We went on Navi River Journey, which was wonderful to see her take in the ride in a different way than she did before when she was younger. We took photo pass photos and Pandora, which are really cute and I can cherish now. We walked around. There was a special Earth Day meet and greet with Max and Goofy in like a fishing outfit, which Brooke texted me about. Thank you, Brooke. And I skedaddled over there and there was a character attendant and I was like, hey, how long is the line from here? And they said, oh, about an hour and a half, which couldn't do. I only had about 25 minutes left. So I ended up crossing the last other thing off my list for the trip, which was It's Tough to Be a Bug. Now, It's Tough to Be a Bug is scary. This is a pretty like frightening attraction for young children. But I realized Pearl is so small where she doesn't really know what's going on in this ride anyway. She can't wear the glasses, so she can't really see it. So it's kind of okay if she goes on it. And actually, it went totally fine. I ended up leaving the end of the show like a little early. I was sitting towards the end, so I just like booped out and walked out because people were screaming in reaction to the show. And I think that was startling her. And I'm like, let's just get out of here. And then I walked back to the stroller parking. And lo and behold, my stroller was parked near, Galapagos tortoises? Just a display outside the Tree of Life, just next to stroller parking, Galapagos tortoises. I think there were 3 or 4 of them. Animal Kingdom is unreal. I need to spend more time just walking around here when it's not as hot out because just going, I've never seen those there because I'd walk the paths, but I'd never been over here by the stroller parking area. It just solidified like how special theme parks are and how much delight there is to see and how much fun there is to be had. We did that. We rounded out the day. We walked out, drove back, got our bags, headed out, and accomplished my final task of the trip, which was going to East End Market to pick up the Gideon's order that I had placed a few days prior. I got my cookies. We got Pearl ready. We got gas. We went to the airport, and we headed home. It was a wonderful trip. I had a wonderful time. I definitely will be planning things a little more casual in the future, not cramming as much in. I hope that if you are like me, you're able to also recognize that maybe we don't have to do everything all morning, day and night as much as I want to. But when it's hot out, you gotta pull back. I had an excellent time. I will be sharing more like baby toddler specific tips in the future, since I know some people have asked for that. This episode is already way too long. I'm not going to do a churros call because I'm already scared for what the runtime is going to be when Jeff sends it back to me. But I want to thank you for listening on our journey. If you have any questions about trip planning, please call into the Churros hotline because we will get back to those calls starting next week. It's just been a little nutty coming back and going to Disneyland and yada, yada, yada. But we had a blast. If you are on the fence about going to Disney World or going to Disney World with a child, do it. Do it. It is doable. It is different. It is, you know, the flight, not fun. Flight's not fun. But then the flight ends and you're like, okay, now we're here. And like the flight back, you're like, okay, now we're here. It's totally fine. It's totally fine. It's all going to be fine. And once you're in these special places with the people that you love to spend time with most, whether it's friends or family or colleagues or anyone, it just is really, it's always worth it. So take the trip. Let me know if you are on the fence about taking the trip, have questions about taking the trips, call 747-CHURROS. And yeah, thank you again for listening. Okay, we'll do that in the outro. Okay, bye. That's our show! Thank you all so much for listening and for patiently enduring this recap. I'm sure if I could edit myself and not give you every opinion about everything I have, ranging from lobbies to child swap rooms, it would have gone faster. But hey, that's how my brain works, and hopefully that's why you're here and enjoy it. So we did our best, and it's a long one, but it's totally fine. You can rate, review, and follow Very Amusing on Apple Podcasts, and rate and follow us on Spotify. Boom, boom, boom. You can also give us a call at 747-CHURROS. Send us a voice note or email it to 747-CHURROS@gmail.com. And yes, I know we have gone 2 weeks without churros calls. I see them come in. I will get to them as soon as possible. It's just been a hectic month, but I got you. Answers are coming. You can still buy Very Amusing merchandise at very-amusing.com and follow me at Carly Wiesel on all the things. Join the Fomaly at facebook.com/group/CarlyWiesel and subscribe to my Instagram at Carly Wiesel. It is 99 cents a month. That is, as we've said before, less than adding cold foam on your coffee. And I will be doing I'm starting to do little guideposts that only subscribers can see. I will be doing one of those that ties into this trip. I'm going to be posting a lot more. I posted a bunch the other day. It's a fun little way to just share even more with a smaller group of people. I really enjoy it. I think people who are subscribing are enjoying it. And if you have trouble subscribing, I know the Facebook, Instagram meta tech is not as good on this end as it could be, because I know a lot of people are trying to subscribe and they physically can't. I have heard that if you get another account to gift you a subscription to your account, that's the best way in. I know people have had success with that. And if that doesn't work, again, I'm so, so sorry. It is out of my control and I wish that I could do something. And I like truly, there's no fix. But if you can't subscribe, come subscribe. It's fun. It's fun. We have a lot of fun in there. It's just nice to have like an additional little smaller group of people to hang out with. I like it. This episode was edited fortuitously by Jeff Fox. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hi, honey. It's me. Such a fun time at Disney. What a great episode. There's so much to talk about. But people are asking me about this Brightline train that I took. It is amazing. I took it from Aventura, Florida to Orlando. It took about 3 hours. It's very clean. Everybody's very nice. The only thing I had a problem with is when you get off at a stop, you have 2 minutes to get your luggage, get your stuff, get to the exit, get off. And some people didn't make it off at their exit. So just be prepared. Okay, OP West was so much fun, so spacious, so roomy, so nice. I loved taking the boat at night to Disney Springs. It was so wonderful and so beautiful, and I especially liked the Dole Whip. And hint, if you ask for a sample because I wanted to try it, they give you almost a full portion of a sample. It's crazy, but it was delicious. And the restaurant there, the Olivia's, was very, very good. I highly recommend it. All right, so my first day was the Harmony Barbershop. So much fun. What a great experience. Fairy dust everywhere. They give you that hat that says my first haircut. They give you the certificate. You get great pictures. It was just a wonderful experience. I loved it. As far as we went to that lunch and this lady, we were talking and she was just talking to us back and forth. And we told her about, you know, we're going to go take photos. Her name was Leslie. And if you listen to my podcast last week, and your podcast last week, And at the end, I said, this woman, Leslie. So apparently someone's not listening to my voicemails. Okay, that's fine. She was great. We went, we took pictures. They were outstanding. It's like my favorite picture ever. I'm going to blow it up. It was wonderful. All right, Dumbo ride. I was a little nervous because I don't like heights, but I kept saying, like, we're going to go on the one Dumbo ride that, you know, you have that little maneuver where you can go up or down. Well, ours was broken, so we stayed up. We went all the way up, and it was delightful, and it was great. And on the ride, you can hear me on the video because I took a video, and I'm saying, I'm getting her a Dumbo stuffed animal when we're done, and you're shaking your head at me. Well, I did send one to the house. It's absolutely huge. It's wonderful, and I love it. The planet Earth place, I don't know what it was called, the space place, whatever. Yes, I did call planet Earth the moon because to me it looked like a moon, and they had little astronauts circling around it, so I stand with that, okay? And the sweet, sweet woman, and I hope I didn't mess up your name, who came up to me at the Epcot store. Her name is Melissa. She was so sweet, and she was so happy to see both of us. I did not get her last name. I did not get your email. Please, please call into Very Amusing, because I just wanted to thank you for coming up to us. It was so nice. It was like 90 degrees. I just came from Club Cool. I had about 12 drinks, and if you mix the watermelon with the Sprite, it's really, really good. And it was great, but I wanted to send you that picture, Melissa. I'm pretty sure it was Melissa. I'm in so much trouble. Okay, I talk really fast, so I don't hear that beep where they cut you off like the Academy Awards. This is not the Academy Awards, but I got cut off, and I'm so sorry. I just wanted to say that Amy Bowman, who came up to Carly and I, she heard us talking, and she came up to us at the character breakfast. And she said, I just love you guys. You remind me so much of me and my mom. And then sadly, she told me her mom had passed away. And of course, I'm in tears now. So I'm hugging her. And Amy, you were such a delight. And please, please, please call in. We'd love to hear from you again. And you're the best. I love you, Carly. I love you, Pearl. I love you, John Stamos. This was such a heartfelt, great episode. I love you. Bye.